is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you as always. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yes.
But before we head into the weekend, Jim Saunas is joining us. We're talking NFL DFS to prepare you for Sunday as well as Monday night contests. And then a different spin on fantasy. We're talking to Reginald James, the NFL commissioner.
Yeah, he's the man.
We're talking about fantasy from the commissioner's perspective because everyone wants to play the game. No one wants to do the legwork. No one wants to do the administrative stuff, and it can be quite a challenge. So we're gonna get some insight from Reginald James just a little bit later. But first, so impressive last night, Clayton Kershaw, ladies and gentlemen, two wins and a save
in five game series. Unbelievable, Clayton Kershaw. Like, that was crazy last night just to see him pitch in that game. I mean, the game before, the 3 days, and then to see him come out of the bullpen just to warm up. When you see Bryce Harper's coming up, and you know that Jensen's had bad numbers against Harper, and it's like, whoa, is he actually gonna go against Harper? And he didn't, but he came in later just to close out that game. So very impressive, Clayton Kershaw. So now they're on to the second round against the Cubs. And hey, Kershaw's got that monkey, so to speak, off his back. I mean, that was always the knock on this guy, is that he can't win the big playoff game. Well, he won two games and he had a save in a five-game series.
It was his first save since he was 18 years old playing in the Gulf Coast League.
And do you know who caught him in that game?
The same catcher that was in this game?
The reliever, Jensen.
Jensen?
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, interesting. Everyone's always changing positions.
Yeah, nuts.
But are you're not surprised? I was going to say, like, three Cy Youngs, MVP, 300 strike season, the only person to do it in the last decade.
I'm surprised he came in. I was pretty shocked that he was warming up to come in out of the bullpen. Like, this is your prized arm, $100 million guy that you just signed, and he just pitched 2 days ago, and he looked gassed in that game. So I was a little bit surprised, but hey, you got it done.
You got to do what you got to do to win.
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore's probably wishing that they pitched their best reliever or best pitcher when they had the playing game against the Jays, and look where they are. Well, I mean, play your best guy. It's too simple.
The best guy in the backfield under center, I guess, for the Denver Broncos was supposed to be Trevor Siemian, but he didn't look that great.
You're saying
last
it
night?
Undersaying that a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he looked awful. He looked horrible. It was a game that they should have won in San Diego. It was a great matchup for him.
Yeah.
And so what do we got? A big takeaway from it is Sanders looked okay, but then he's dealing with a hip injury. Demaryius Thomas, he had the fumble. He's ticked off at the sidelines.
Cody Latimer concussion.
Cody Latimer concussion is not great news for the defending champs. I don't like their chances at all, like, even to make the playoffs now. Like, I know that's a little bit of a stretch, but they just lost to the Chargers, a team that's just really hadn't been able to do anything all year. Got Oakland on the rise, KC coming off a bye. That's a big game this weekend. One of those two teams are going to win. So Denver has some issues. And now, I mean, this running back situation, I know that Anderson is getting, he has better yards and better numbers than Booker, but Booker is starting to steal those touches and better yards per carry numbers than Anderson. So I think it's only a matter of time before this guy really steps in. No. What, are you a CJ Anderson owner and you're upset?
I'm not a CJ Anderson owner, but I'm just saying 7, 6, and 5 carries does not constitute vulturing. Everyone needs to calm down. CJ Anderson,
it's starting to turn into a split a little bit.
He out-snapped him 57-15.
Yeah.
It's not really that close. He's spelling him a little bit. I mean, he's worth owning. I'd say he's a valuable handcuff, but everyone needs to just calm down. Just breathe.
I'm calm, but if Booker's hanging around your waiver wire, you need to pick him up because he's one of the better handcuffs in football, and CJ Anderson's an undrafted guy that I've just seen get hurt multiple times in 2 years, so I'm just saying.
I mean, the entire Denver running game has taken a step back. In the last 3 weeks, Anderson, 19, 11, and then 10 carries. So and it's crazy to me. You're going to take away your running game when someone like Trevor Siemian is going 250 yards on 50 pass attempts, but let's not run the ball.
CJ Anderson had one of the best runs of the year. It was called back because of a flag. I mean, that was pretty impressive. He took on like 3 or 4 guys, bounced on the outside, scored a touchdown. That looked really good. But he is always going to be involved in the passing game. That's definitely certain. But
I'd say owners for CJ Anderson don't need to be concerned right now. I say owners of Antonio Gates. They're the ones that need to be concerned because Mr. Hunter Henry has been absolutely balling out of control over the last little while. He out-snapped Gates 45-31 this past Thursday. He scored another touchdown.
Yeah, he's got a TD in 3 straight games.
Yeah.
He led the team in targets. He led the team
in
receptions. He led the team in yards. I dropped him before that football game yesterday. I am not happy about it, but I was able to pick up Zach Miller. There's some tight end options out there, and things are just really deep at that position. I mean, Jordan Reed's got the concussion issue, so there's a lot of issues at the tight end position. But for Hunter Henry, I mean, they run a lot of two tight end sets, so I would be concerned for Gates. I think I'd almost rather own Henry because you know that he's healthy and he already has a connection with Phillip Rivers right now, and there's just not a lot of options in that offense. And you got Benjamin up top. I mean, Terrell Williams was shut down last night, as expected. But yeah, Hunter Henry, especially in keeper and dynasty.
I just got a note passed to me.
Oh, what is it?
One of our amazing staff members.
The love note?
No, it actually just speaks to my case a little bit more. I said C.J. Anderson had 57 snaps to Booker's 15. It was actually 59 snaps.
Oh, two more snaps.
So there you go.
There you go.
That's all you need to know. You want to talk about Carey Price? This is going to make you sad. He's been sick for over a week. The good news is it's not an actual injury.
Well, I hope not.
He's sick. He's just sick.
A little suspicious here. What's going on?
But Al Montoya, the actual gangster, the old school gangster of the NHL, is going to be starting in his place.
Price owners, you probably, you know, you drafted this guy and you probably were a little bit uneasy about it because of what happened last year, but you saw him playing the World Cup and you're like, he's fine. He's good to go. It's a little bit concerning that he's not joining the team tomorrow night in Ottawa, but I know they got that win last night in Buffalo, and this is a game that Montreal probably thinks that they can win. Why rush back Price if he's not 100% healthy? So that flu bug is actually going around in Montreal. There's a couple guys who were missing last night playing under the weather, so I wouldn't go and rush to go get Al Montoya to stream him. He could be a sneaky DFS play, but Ottawa's a pretty high-scoring team, so I wouldn't trust that. Price will be back soon, hopefully.
Do you prefer Montoya or do you prefer Zach Toff?
Zach Toff. I do.
Zach Toff.
Yeah,
because Jonathan Quick is week to week now after undergoing an MRI.
And you saw what happened to Price. I mean, last year with Price, it was just week to week. It was day to day, and then it turned out that he didn't play all year, and he wasn't even close. If Montreal were to make the playoffs last year, it wasn't even close. He wasn't going to suit up. So this is certainly concerning. There's no timetable. You said it, Ashley, week to week. Zach Toff is a guy that I would certainly go pick up if I had Quick. I'm not into carrying three goalies, especially four. You can get away with three, especially there's a couple duos. There's a duo in Philly, a duo in Newark that you can get away with. The Islanders, you know, Neuvirth, Mason, you can go that way. Connor Hellebuck is available. If you don't get Zach Toff, Mike Smith is a guy that I have no problem starting. Arizona gives up a lot of shots. He can help you save percentage. I don't know if he's going to get you a lot of wins, but he can help you out there. But yeah, concerning for Quick and really concerning for Evander Kane.
Very concerning. He went to the hospital as a precautionary measure after getting pushed into the boards deep in the Montreal zone the other day, and they said they were looking at his ribs. You said you thought it was more of a shoulder issue.
Yeah, my guess.
It's all around bad.
My guess was separated shoulder. He went in hard and he kind of went in like that when his arm stuck out, and just like you see the shoulder drop, the arm drop from players, and he couldn't get up. It was several minutes before he got up off the ice. He was in the tunnel. He couldn't even lift his head up, so it's not good news. And people kind of joke about Kane. I mean, he's had a lot of off-ice issues. He wasn't getting any love in fantasy drafts in terms of ADP. But this guy is a fantasy hockey stud. He shoots the puck a ton. He hits. He drops the gloves every other game for penalty minutes.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to go to the net and get points. He basically fills out every single category that you want. Just keep an eye on the whole situation. Maybe you can plug him on IR. I have him in a lot of spots. I would plug him on the IR if it was like a week-to-week thing, but my guess is it's going to be like a couple months. It's bad news. No Okpozo, no Eichel.
I was just going to say Okpozo on the mend after taking a slap shot in the knee at practice. Eichel out for an extended period of time, probably Kane. Up to 6 weeks. Now Kane again.
Dmitry Kulikov is a defenseman they signed who I really like as well, who didn't play last night, so not a good start for Buffalo, but they do have a nice future.
Not a good start, but a good first guest for us.
Yes.
Jim Saunas, NFL, DFS, coming up next. We're going to talk about Dak Prescott. How underrated is he? We'll find out after the break. This is Fantasy Sports Today. This is Chris Meany. I'm Ashley Docking. We're bringing in Jim Saunas, one of our favorite guests on this show. And this time we're going to talk to him about NFL, DFS, as opposed to MLB,
which is his baby.
But he's just as knowledgeable and very helpful. So, Jim, we're glad to have you.
I am happy to be here. How are you two doing on this Friday?
Amazing.
Great.
I'm great. I don't know about Chris.
I'm also great. Reluctant. Yeah, I'm amazing. Hey, anytime she's amazing, I'm amazing. It just makes my life a hell of a lot easier.
Happy work wife.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Maybe we'll get a World Series prediction from you if there's time, but we want to start with picking a quarterback this week in a DFS. There's a lot of juicy matchups. Give me one you really like, and maybe kind of an under-the-radar guy, somebody outside maybe the top 10 in pricing.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at the top end as far as quarterbacks go, I am in love with Russell Wilson. I think that you look at this matchup, my one concern is the weather, but that has been trending the right direction. It seems as if the nasty stuff will be out of Seattle by Sunday morning, you know, late Saturday or so, which opens him up to an Atlanta defense that currently ranks 23rd against the pass, according to Number Fire's metrics. And that's in a situation where it might be a bit deceiving because they've had opposing teams in negative game scripts so often, yet they're still 23rd in efficiency. You'd expect them to be higher given the amount of negative game script they've had their opponents in. So I like Wilson a lot this week. He could wind up being popular. Just looking at some of the Thursday ownerships, you know, for fantasy aces, he was pretty popular there. So, yeah, you know, he might be a bit more worrisome than I thought, but I do still like him quite a bit. And then another guy I like is Dak Prescott. My two concerns with Dak the entire year have been that they love to run the football and that they run a slow pace, but now they go on the road and they're facing the Green Bay Packers, who are really good against the rush, and also they run a high tempo, which will force the Cowboys to run more plays. So I think that Dak, he's hard to stack in tournaments, especially if Dez plays. If he doesn't play, I don't mind stacking with Bryce Butler, but otherwise I'm fine with going with standalone Dak in tournaments as well.
Why is there this perception about Dak Prescott that he might not be as fantasy relevant as he has proven himself to be over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think that they may be looking at, you know, the way he scored his points, and it has come through a couple of rushing touchdowns, which props things up. But when you look at his efficiency, right now he is the third most efficient quarterback in the league, according to Number Fire's metrics. And what that tells me is that when he's facing a defense like the Green Bay Packers, with Sam Shields likely out again this week, is that when he is forced to throw, he should be fairly efficient. It is a bit worrisome. You know, they've been fine without Dez so far, but they haven't been in a lot of tough situations. So maybe if Dez does not play, it could be, you know, potentially a ding to Dak's efficiency. But overall, I mean, the early returns on him are phenomenal. And I think that, you know, for his price, you could do a whole lot worse.
Jim, we don't want to spend too much time on this because we want to get to your other plays. But do you think if Dallas continues to win and Romo is healthy, that he just keeps the starting position?
Yeah, I think that you could go either way for this. I mean, I'm a huge Tony Romo apologist. I think that he got way too much flack early in his career for, you know, perceived fourth quarter struggles and, you know, late in seasons and stuff like that. But, you know, based on the way Dak is playing, based on Romo's health, you really hope that Romo gets healthy. But I wouldn't fault them if they stuck with Dak just because he has been so good. And, you know, why mess with something that's working out so well?
Yeah, exactly.
Pittsburgh's proven that they're going to stick with Le'Veon Bell. And why not just putting D'Angelo Williams to the side and going with Bell as their main option, which is why he's priced so high on DraftKings this week. The most expensive running back at $7,900 in a juicy matchup against Miami. Then you have DeMarco Murray taking on Cleveland. Zeke, who you mentioned, taking on a tough Green Bay front. But who do you like running back-wise? Who are you targeting this week?
Yeah, there are two guys in that high price range that I love more than others. I'm not opposed to Le'Veon Bell or DeMarco Murray. But as far as my favorite ones, I love LeSean McCoy. That matchup against San Francisco is great, but I think people are pretty on to him. A bit lower ownership, though, is Lamar Miller. Going up against Indianapolis, he's had a rough year so far. He hasn't found the end zone yet, which is concerning. But part of that is due to the fact that they are missing their left tackle, Dwayne Brown, for the first four games. Brown returned in Week 5, but that was against an immortal Vikings defense. Now they get to go up against the Colts, who are ranked 30th against the rush, according to Number Fire's metrics. That game is indoors, which is huge, given the just disgusting weather that is on the slate for this weekend. And, you know, that return of Dwayne Brown is big for him. Lamar Miller's success rate running left this year is 26%. The league average is 40%, according to Number Fire's metrics. Now they get Dwayne Brown back in a really good matchup at home. And I think that Lamar Miller should be more chalky than he'll wind up being.
I actually don't think that's an overstatement, calling the Vikings defense immortal.
Right.
Generally speaking, it would be. But in this case, so far,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Not wrong.
I like that.
We want to keep moving here because we want to get to tight ends and the defense position as well. So a wide receiver, I know that a lot of people are going to target this Carolina and New Orleans game. Are you targeting that as well in DFS this weekend?
Absolutely. I think that you almost have to, especially with, I think that when you look at the Saints, it's hard to predict where the ball is going. So I want to go a little bit cheaper there if possible. I'm not opposed to Brandon Cooks or Willie Snead, but Michael Thomas is super alluring there. His price is so low that you can do a lot with that. And he has tremendous upside. His snap rate has been increasing. His target market share, even with Snead active in Week 4 before their bye, is, I think, 25%. So there are a lot of reasons to like Michael Thomas. And I think if I'm going towards the Saints, he would probably be the guy I would gravitate towards, even though, again, I'm not opposed to Brandon Cooks, who is always just stupid at home.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Save yourself some cash with Thomas.
Yeah.
20 targets and 2 touchdowns in his last 2 games. You can't really argue with that.
No.
But make an argument for one of your favorite favorite defenses for us this week?
It's all about Buffalo for me. I think that they'll be very popular, but I don't really care. They are priced up, which is fine, but they're facing a San Francisco offense. We always talk about San Francisco's pace benefiting the opposing offense, but it also benefits the opposing defense. They get more plays, which can lead to more sacks, more interceptions, more forced fumbles, etc. And while they may allow a couple more points, that's fine too. And you get Colin Kaepernick, who ideally will be more aggressive than Blaine Gabbert, which could lead to more turnovers for the Bills defense. And also, there are some pretty serious weather concerns in this game. Right now, the wind speed projected at 18 miles per hour. That could lead to a lower scoring game. So they really check all my boxes. If you want to get a little bit riskier, maybe Houston up against Andrew Luck and that, abysmal offensive line. But I do think that Buffalo is the safest and potentially highest upside selection for this week.
Jim, we got time for tight ends. You look at the top, Greg Olsen, 7,000. This guy's averaging 20 fantasy points per game. There's no brainer that he's going to have another great game and a perfect matchup for him against the Saints. But are you spending up for this position? Because there's some guys down the list. I mean, Jesse James, Fleener, Miller's been nice. There's some nice matchups there. Zach Ertz, 30 catches in the last three games against Washington. Are you spending up for the tight end position, or is there somebody else in that middle grain that you're looking at?
I don't mind Greg Olsen. I think that you view him as a wide receiver based on the targets he's been getting, and going up against the Saints, he's in a great matchup, so I'm fine with him. My favorite depending on the weather, is Travis Kelce. I want to target that Kansas City Chiefs passing offense. Right now, the weather does look bad. It's 12-mile-per-hour winds and rain in Oakland, so if that doesn't change, then I'll probably be pivoting to Delanie Walker against the Cleveland Browns in a good spot. We saw Martellus Bennett tear them apart last week, and also Jordan Reed a couple weeks before that. So Delanie Walker's snap rate is still a bit concerning coming off of his hamstring injury, but now he's got another week removed from that in a great matchup. I think that he would be the way I'd pivot if the weather stays gross in Oakland for Travis Kelce.
Right on.
Well, Kay, we promised at the beginning. We talked about it. So we need a World Series prediction.
We need a World Series prediction from you.
We're going to have him on the phone.
Who's going to beat who?
I was told that I would be scolded if I didn't pick the Cubs, by a little birdie in my ear. So I have to pick the Chicago Cubs. Right now, Number Fire has them as pretty big favorites. You can check out the updated odds on Number Fire, too. But I have to go Chicago Cubs. I'm hoping they play the Blue Jays, not just for you guys, because you've always been so kind to me, but also just because, I want to watch Jose Bautista swing the bat more often.
Who doesn't?
We all do, yeah.
All right, thanks, Jim. We'll talk to you again soon, okay? Have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, good luck to you as well. Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Have a good one, bud.
All right, switching it up.
Yes.
What's
talking
it like
to an
being,
actor.
Talking to an actor.
An actor, a fantasy
theater.
Pros ranker, but we're going to talk about being a commissioner.
How hard is it?
It's very tough.
You have to deal with all these personalities. It's basically like being in management in a corporation. Maybe. We'll find out after the break.
That doesn't sound good. Sounds okay.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Everyone loves playing fantasy football or fantasy leagues of any kind, but no one wants to be bothered with the headaches of getting everyone to register, getting a draft time that suits everyone's needs, maybe collecting payment if it's a money league, but someone's got to do it. Yeah. And this is where the commissioners come into play. And that's why Reginald James, host of the Fantasy Commissioner on Rabble TV, is here to join us now to talk about that aspect of fantasy that's often quite overlooked. Hi, sir. How are you?
I am great. How you doing, Ashley? Hey, Chris.
Hey,
good to be here.
We're doing good. Thanks for jumping on. I was a big fan of Heroes. Loved your work there. You can give them a follow at Twitter, at Commisso as well, as you see another Twitter handle on the bottom there. But we just want to talk to you about what you've started here, the show. Why did you decide to do this? And tell us what it's all about.
Because I started the Fantasy Commissioner Show because commissioners, they need love too.
They
want to enjoy the season as well. And they can't do that if they're dealing with crazy nonsense and drama and trying to mediate between two knuckleheads, who are having a turf war on the message board. They can't do that. So I started the show to help them out, especially the new commissioners. Because there's a core of people who they play fantasy because it's the social thing to do. Everyone else is doing it. But there's the rest of us who we love football. And fantasy football is an extension of that. So we want everyone to enjoy the game. I want to help new commissioners especially prevent problems, prepare for problems, and deal with issues that would otherwise take away from their enjoyment of the game. Because I remember when we used to get the scores from USA Today and write them on the yellow legal pad. You remember those days, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now, yeah, we're old enough to remember those days for sure.
Exactly. You know, we're dating ourselves because the scores, now the scores pop on and someone, you know, they score 6 points and then the scores
are real time. Yeah.
The points are gone, you know, but back in the day, they didn't become official until Tuesday. So I remember those days. So I want people who are starting out to start off on a good foot so they can enjoy themselves. And that's the whole idea of the show. I just want to help, and I enjoy doing it.
So Reginald, what's one of the most common problems that you faced in your experience as a commissioner?
I get a lot of questions about commissioners who want to prevent trades from happening.
Yes.
Now we know what collusion is.
Okay. Yep.
Well, there's a lot of forms of it, but there are often times where a commissioner wants to overturn a trade just because they wouldn't do it themselves. No. That's a big no-no. All right. If it's collusion, you kill it. But I'll get questions about they have a trade that they're thinking about overturning, or they've already overturned it and they want to see what I think. And I'm like, no, that's a big fat no. So that's a common thing among commissioners. I get that a lot because some commissioners feel they need to micromanage and overmanage, you know, a league, and you don't have to do that. I mean, there's a moment in time where after you collect the dues, you select the draft order, you pick the keepers, there's a time to exhale. Relax.
Just let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Like Frozen.
Hey, drink your beer, right? And drink your beer. Enjoy the season.
Yeah.
But there are some commissioners out there. They want to rule with the iron hand. And look, if you want to control something, go get certified as a referee and coach. You know, coach or you know, referee youth soccer, right? You know, do that. Control that. But otherwise, leave the members in your league alone. Let them relax. Get your nose out of the situation and just have fun.
But we were talking about that earlier because you see a lot of the times later in the season within like the last 3 or 4 weeks when someone's out of the mix, they get convinced to give some kind of real bonus.
There's always somebody in that league.
There's always that one person who will give up like two fantasy studs for some kind of bench guy who's on the IR. Do you generally veto it yourself, or are you one of the commissioners who kind of puts it up to a league vote and lets everyone get their say?
No. I live on the planet where league members do not get the vote on trades.
Okay.
Because generally what happens is, think about this, generally what happens is when a trade gets put up on the board, other members look at it and they are not thinking about whether the trade helps those two people who are trying to do the trade. They are not thinking about how it helps the people who are trying to do the trade. They think about how it affects them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have nothing to do with it. It's not your trade. And it's not your job to go, well, why are they doing that? Why are they trading like that? I wouldn't trade Stefon Diggs. Well, you know what? I might hold Stefon Diggs at a higher value than you do. It's my trade. So no. Commissioners should oversee trades. And I know a lot of people have a hard time with that, but here's the deal. If you are in a league where you don't trust your commissioner, then things need to change. You need to leave or something needs to change. You have to be able to trust your commissioner. And that's hard for people to hear, but that's their job. It's not their job to overmanage, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's their job to have things run smoothly, to keep things going. So you decide whether the trades are good or not. Look, if it's not collusion, you let it go.
Okay.
I mean, that's one of those topics that where people can go back and forth on. Well, if you are looking over the trades, who's looking over you? You know, I've had those discussions before, right? But you have to trust your commissioner. And so that's why, you know, when I'm helping, trying to help people, you know, and like I said, I try and focus on the new commissioners. You need to set a precedent. You need to set the bar high. And if you start off, you know, putting everything in writing, trying to be transparent in everything you do, you can garner that trust so that you can have a league year after year after year, because I think that's what most people want.
You're absolutely,
all right, Reginald,
absolutely right, though. That is what people want. And
yeah,
we would love to talk to you as much more, but we have to go, unfortunately. But we will talk to you again very soon, Reginald.
Thanks for joining us, man.